This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Today's New Hampshire primary is the nation's first. Wesley Clark has an early lead, getting 14 votes in the midnight balloting in Dixville Notch and Hart's location. John Kerry got 8 votes. Howard Dean and John Edwards each got 4 votes. Joe Lieberman won. A week from today, voters in 7 more states choose among the candidates running for the Democratic presidential nomination, and more primaries follow quickly after that. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams spoke with 2 experts on the speedy nomination process.
Despite extensive media coverage of the Iowa caucus and New Hampshire primary, these small states will determine the votes of only 67 of more than 2,100 delegates necessary to win the nomination. Ken Rudin is NPR's political editor. Michael Barone is a senior writer at U.S. News and World Report and co-author of the Almanac of American Politics. Rudin said more than delegates are at stake when the race is run at this fast pace.
What's really, really important about Tuesday's vote is the momentum, the headlines, and the boost the winning candidates will get when they come out of the state.
So, Michael, what does it mean in terms of delegates? When do you start to count delegates and pay attention?
Well, you've got about half the delegates are chosen, I believe, by March 9th. At that point, the assumption is that all but one of the candidates will have been effectively eliminated and then will easily get a delegate majority. Now, there is a theoretical possibility that you could have 3 candidates for a while, and some people have thoughts that no candidate will emerge from the primaries and the caucuses with a majority of the delegates. I think that's highly unlikely, but it's theoretically possible.
So in previous years, there was a 6-week break after the Iowa and New Hampshire contest. This time, you have a tremendously important set of primaries occurring within a week. Why did the Democrats decide to compress the schedule in that fashion?
Well, National Chairman Terry McAuliffe wanted to compress the primary schedule and wanted to get an early nominee. So you have Missouri, Arizona, South Carolina, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Delaware with primaries 1 week after New Hampshire, and North Dakota with caucuses.
So you know, Juan, if you think of the history of the California primary, for the longest time it was in June. And in the old days, when the fight for the nomination would last through June, California was significant. But now, with all this front-loading of primaries, when California would vote in June, now New Jersey votes in June, they're meaningless. So a lot of the states, with or without Terry McAuliffe's insistence or urging, they wanted to move up in the schedule.
Well, in fact, Terry McAuliffe says his best guarantee, those are his words, is that there will be a Democrat nominated by March 10th.
I think it will probably be decided by March 10th, probably a 90% probability.
Ken, do you agree?
The nomination battle can't go on beyond there. There are 1,151 delegates at stake on March 2nd. Assuming somebody comes out of these early primaries with a head of steam, one would guess that that candidate would get most of those delegates.
And the money factor, Juan, is very important there. These 6 primaries in the North Dakota caucus that are going to be held on February 3rd, one estimate is that it's going to cost these candidates $2 million to advertise during that 1 week period. In the subsequent weeks, we're going to get California, New York, Florida, Texas, and so forth. Now, there you're talking about the largest states in the country.
Those states come on March 2nd.
Yeah, California costs more than $2 million a week, I think, in television advertising for the kind of saturation that a candidate is going to want.
So we've seen a major change in the dynamic that's behind the primary process because of this compressed schedule. Money becomes a big issue because of advertising. What else changed as a result of having all these front-loaded primaries and caucuses?
I would say one thing that's happened, actually, is that it has given second-line candidates a better chance than they might have had otherwise. Look at the Democratic race 4 years ago between Al Gore and Bill Bradley. Al Gore won a big margin in the Iowa caucuses. He came in here to New Hampshire, and the votes were close. And Bill Bradley it was 5 weeks to the next contest. And Bradley just had no way to complete a storyline. And Bill Bradley just had to fold his cards, even though a change of a relatively few votes in New Hampshire, and he might have been a very viable candidate that 5 weeks later.
So, Ken, is it too late for Hillary Clinton or some other Democrat to jump in the race in this compressed schedule?
Political junkies have this fantasy of a brokered convention when somebody appears out of the blue. Remember, going into the 1952 Democratic convention, Adlai Stevenson insisted he was not a candidate. He left the convention as the nominee. These days, conventions are just a formality. The decisions made by the states and the parties to have the primary so early, a nominee will be sewn up by March 9th.
Is it the case a brokered convention is
The odds are against it.
If it's not brokered, don't fix it.
It's not going to happen. If you want to see one, get a newsreel.
Michael Barone, senior writer for U.S. News & World Report and co-author of The Almanac of American Politics, and NPR's own Ken Rudin, the political editor. Thank you both very much.
Thanks, Juan.
Thanks.
NPR's senior correspondent, Juan Williams.